This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Lauren Denyer. How are you, Lauren?
I'm very well, thank you, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. You're one of the educators for WSD Level 4 in London's WSD School?
That's right, on Bermondsey Street. I teach the diploma here, yeah.
Perfect. What I want to talk about today is a little bit about the tasting in Level 4. And really, I want to focus mainly on the differences between Level 3 and Level 4, mm-hmm. Because to be honest, there's an awful lot of similarities.
Yes, when you look at the SAT, so Systematic Approach to Tasting, the grids that you get for both, they do look quite similar. But as I'm sure we'll find out, there is quite a bit more to think about at diploma, as you'd expect.
Yeah. So what I'll do is I'd like to just go through the Level 4.
Sure.
And just compare it to some differences between Level 3, if that's
possible.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think we'll just go through it from nose, appearance, nose, palate, conclusions. And I think conclusions is where probably the big differences
yeah.
are. Because that's where you've got to pull out the information from the SAT.
That's right. And you've got a lot of marks now, which are weighted in that area. So whereas with Level 3, you'll get a couple of marks there. We can talk about what you need to do to gain the marks there okay. for diploma.
Well, let's start with the parents, though. And the first thing I noticed is that it's almost identical, but there's no clarity.
Yes. Well, you know, you don't get any marks for clarity.
In the Level 3, I know.
You don't get it at Level 3, so what's the point?
I know, I don't even get them to write down clarity.
No, and in fact, I think we don't really much either. You know, it's worth talking about, but how many hazy wines are you showing on the course anyway? Because we don't show any, and in the exam, I very much doubt there would be any because you'd get bottle variation. So, yeah, it's not something that we talk about.
So appearance is identical as far as we can tell.
Yeah, pretty much. I think there's a couple of words different, salmon on Level 3 and pink orange on diploma. You know, it's little things like that. Not a lot in it.
But it's still important to note that because WST marking is very word specific.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you wrote salmon, you would get no marks for diploma.
No.
So, yeah, you need to kind of be familiar with the diploma SAT, for sure. There isn't a lot of difference in terms of the lexicon and the you know, the structural elements, appearance, nose and palate, but where there is a difference, you do need to be aware of that.
Yep. Okay, let's move on to the nose, because there's not much really there. Again, condition, not included at Level 4, but in Level 3. Again, no marks at Level 3, so...
Yeah, I suspect eventually it won't be on Level 3, but yeah, don't need to worry about it. We're not going to have out-of-condition wines.
Yeah. In classroom, we do get faulty wines sometimes.
Yeah, we do, but then we don't show them. So,
no, I do.
Well, we show them in the sense that, oh, here we are. We've opened a wine and it's faulty. But obviously, you wouldn't be showing one on purpose because you wouldn't know that it's faulty before
you've
opened it.
That's right.
So, yeah, we don't show them to assess them, but we show them if they exist,
yeah.
just because it's quite interesting, isn't it, to go, oh, yeah, I really get the cork taint. And obviously, different people have different thresholds on different experiences. So, you know, you do tend to get some students who really have never come across many, many corked wines or faulty wines. So it's a good time to give them the chance. But, you know, you can't predict when that's going to happen.
Intensity, and we'll talk about aroma characteristics in a minute, but they're pretty much the same. Aroma characteristics are a little bit different. But the big one there is there's no development.
No. And I'm not entirely sure why there isn't, but I think you can talk about development in when you talk about suitability for bottle aging.
Yeah.
So it's sort of swapped out there.
That's what I thought it was. When I was looking at it, you know, the bottle aging is really talking. You need to say, where is it in its life cycle?
Well, yeah, to a point, you need to sort of justify why it is or isn't suitable for bottle aging. And that might be because, you know, it is too young. You don't have the options in the way that you do at Level 3 to say, oh, it's too young or it's too old. So in your general... you know, few sentences that you write, you would have to be able to state that yourself. So therefore, you would be remarking on development anyway in that part of the assessment.
Okay. I said we'd come talk about the flavours, and I have noticed not huge changes, but there's little changes everywhere in terms of the aromas that you'd typically use, the lexicon, if you like, that you'd typically use. It does say that you don't limit yourself to these terms.
No, absolutely not. I mean, of course, you need to be relevant and understand culturally. You know, if you've got something that you are particularly familiar with, but that's something quite niche and maybe not shared in other countries, you know, to be aware of that. But yeah, to a point, the sky's the limit as long as it's relevant and you know that the examiner is going to understand what you're talking about.
That raises a point though, isn't it? Because the examiner, I'm not sure how level four works. I know exactly how level three works. And you get the examiner gets basically the description of all the flavors. And when I'm marking it, when I'm creating a marking key for it, I just circle the ones that I think are relevant.
Yes.
And if someone says, cassis instead of blackcurrant, that's fine. Yeah. That's exactly the same thing. It's not an issue. But when they start to get slightly different flavors, it's like, well, are they really meaning that or not? So I tell my guys, stick to the lexicon.
I would say that a good advice, if you're unsure, yes, is to stick to the lexicon. I think there's enough there to use. I don't think you need to start searching for other flavours and aromas, quite frankly. But sometimes you do know something and it has a particular characteristic that isn't on there, and it maybe it's a hook for you and it is one that is understandable for other people. So, yeah, you know, by all means do that. But like you say, do, you know, be a bit cautious.
Yeah. It's always a bit hard as well, because when you write your tasting note, as an examiner for the level three anyway, I write my tasting note, and then someone comes in and you're reading, going through marking it, and you go, oh, that could have had strawberry in there. I've gone for raspberry, but it's too late now. It's too late and you can't give them the mark. So, because you can't go back and change your...
I mean, I don't know what the examiners do because I work at the school, so I'm not really privy to that.
But you must mark level three.
I have marked level three, and I also create marking keys for the mocks that the students do level four. And to be honest, I'm quite flexible. So if I suspect, you know, something's got strawberry characteristics, I'll probably also put that I'd accept raspberry well. You know, if something is very red fruited, then I'd be like, do you know what?
Just go for them all.
All the red fruits. It's fine. You know, I think you can be specific for some parts more than others.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when it comes to fruit, I'm quite lenient.
Okay. I noticed something you mentioned, and I was thinking this as well. You said about the cultural understanding of certain flavours.
Because
I remember talking to a guy and he said, like, I ran this course for a load of Portuguese people and they came up with all these different descriptions for olives. You know, green olives, black olives, all these different olives he's never heard of before. And he was sitting there going, well, that's quite a problem. And you go to Asia, the fruit that they eat is all different. So it does become a little bit problematic. And I noticed, for example, things like jasmine's been added under floral, but you've removed acacia, chamomile, which are... Acacia, maybe. I mean, I've got a particular memory hook for acacia because of a candle when I was a young kid. But you've also removed geranium. And geranium is like your classic wine fault.
You'd hope, though, that we don't have too many of those types of wines in the exams or in the classroom, though. I agree. But I think what they're always doing is that they're always revising and thinking about those cultural differences. And so there has been a lot of consideration around what has been removed and what has been added. You might notice that graham cracker has been added now, because biscuit means something so different in the US to what it means in the UK. So they had to kind of think around that. And graham cracker is more what we associate as like a biscuit, but something that in the USA they understand what that is. And obviously, you know, we're dealing with the whole of the globe. It's a global qualification and they're using the same SAT everywhere, but they do try and make it as, when I say generic, you know, without getting too specific. So that does sound like it's specific, but then we've got a lot of US students and actually international students who would understand that better than they understand biscuit. Mm. I think it's been quite British influenced.
Yes.
That's the issue.
It has. And graham cracker, I must admit, was a weird one. It came up in a flashcard that one of the people were writing our flashcards use. And I had to write back to her. I said, Graham Cracker, have you been smoking something funny? You know, what the hell's this all about?
Yeah.
But it is on the SAT.
I was surprised when I first saw it, but then I kind of said, well, why is this here? And then I got that reasoning. Yeah. And of course that makes sense. And it is comes, you know, it's Graham Cracker slash biscuit. So, yeah. You know, but yeah. And I find as well, you know, you teach, there are some things that aren't on the SATs. We think about fortified wines and biologically aged sherries. There's very few characteristics on there. So there are some things that aren't on the SAT that you just need to kind of have an idea that you might need to have a few words to describe specific styles of wines. Mm-hmm. And I struggle because I always think, like, for example, something like a Fino sherry for me always smells a bit like Marmite, but then I'm very aware that lots of places in the world, they don't eat Marmite. So, yeah. You know, you've got to get around these things.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I think it's quite good that you're starting to allow for some of these cultural variants as well.
Which, yeah.
I think you, whether you know it directly, you've probably got it in the neck a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And I know that it's a real struggle when you're trying to provide two sides or one side of A4, really, less than one side of A4 for everyone in the world to use. But I think, yeah, there's a lot on there that can be used really well and a lot of things that are familiar to people around the world.
I noticed the word simple is used in level 4 lexicon as well.
Yes.
And it's used in level 3 as well. But in level 3, the wines that you get in the exam are normally of particular types, you know, simple, primary only, primary, secondary, tertiary, that type of thing.
Okay.
Do they have the same sort of thing at level 4?
They can put in anything at level 4, so...
But the TEBs themselves, they normally at level 3, they're asking, you know, you must provide a primary, secondary, tertiary wine with...
Well, I don't know, tannins. Because it's purely the team there who create the qualification who choose the wines. So we've got, for the wines for diploma, they will choose, you know, 3 wines for sparkling, 3 wines for fortified, unrelated samples. Then at D3, you've got 12 wines. So you've got 3 that are the same grape variety, 3 that are the same country, from the same country, 3 wines from the same region, and then 3 that are unrelated samples there. So really their priority is more about getting 3 of the same grape variety that are different and diverse, but enough typicity within the flight for students to be able to identify the grape variety. So I think it's just coming at it from a different perspective.
Are those wines set by exams?
And yeah.
They supervise the wines?
No, well, they choose the producers, yeah.
Okay, and so you don't actually choose the wine?
I don't personally, because no. I'm an educator, so that I know what they are, and that would be a bit problematic. But the people in charge of writing the exams, they choose, they specify the exact, the producers, the
vintage
wines.
Vintage as well? Or?
Vintage, yeah. I mean, I think vintage is less of an issue, but they'll choose the wines. Okay. And I think they aim, I don't know because I don't do it, but from my experience of being in the diploma exams and seeing what the wines are, you know, they tend to be quite a range and try to show fairly benchmark wines, you know, where they can, apart from unrelated samples, where they are getting a little bit more interesting, the wines for that, slightly lesser known grape varieties and regions, but all on the specification.
We'll come back to that and those different four different types of flights of three.
Sure.
Later on. Okay, so the wines are selected quite differently to level 2, where quite often you're trying to show that you can identify complexity or simplicity and be aware of it.
Mark, yes.
Marks are allocated. Mm-hmm. Like in level 3, simple is a very important word.
If
the wine's
is.
Simple, there's 2 marks for writing down simple in
okay.
the exam.
I mean, yeah, you need, if yeah, 1 mark for the nose and 1 mark for the palate. That's right,
yeah.
Isn't it?
And but, that's but, the but same. The marks are reserved. So on the nose, you've got 1 mark is reserved for the word simple and then 4 other descriptors.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, I don't know for sure, but I suspect it also applies at diploma because I'd say to the students, if this wine is simple, you must state that it's simple. Because at the end of the day, it's about showing your knowledge of the wine. And if you don't write that a simple wine is simple, then you haven't understood the wine. So I do think that's really important. And they do say in the tasting guidance that WSET Global have provided that that's, you should be using those words, and words like generic as well should be used too. So it might not be stated on the actual SAT lexicon, but it is encouraged to use those words.
Okay. Normally simple at level three anyway is like two clusters of...
It's your Pinot Grigio, isn't it? Or, you know, something along those lines, something you've got a couple of fruit clusters and that's about it, yeah.
But sometimes you can land up in a world of pain. If you get something like Beaujolais, entry-level Beaujolais with carbonic maceration, you've got banana... candied, red fruits. It's not a simple wine, yet it really is.
Yeah, I suppose this is the thing as well. A lot of people assume that if they've got a simple wine, it's going to be an acceptable wine, whereas actually simplicity is one element of it, but then it could be very balanced and expressive, in which case it's probably more than acceptable. So, yeah, you're right. You do get students that get confused when you're told, it's going to be, you know, a couple of clusters for your Pinot Grigio, but then when you get... like a Beaujolais, and you're talking about banana and bubblegum and cinnamon, you kind of think, oh, but there's so many different things going on here. But they're all coming from the same place.
Mm.
So, yeah, it can get a little bit confusing.
The way I deal with it with my students is I say, look, if it's carbonic maceration and all these sort of bubblegum, candy, banana, they're all carbonic maceration flavours. It's almost like, for me anyway, I always feel you need like under winemaking, carbonic maceration as a cluster that you could then fit them all into, and then you can say it's one cluster because it's all from one source. But
I suppose in this case you kind of have to read between the lines a little bit, don't you?
Yeah Okay, let's go back to so we've sort of talked a little bit about the different flavors, and there are differences all the way through. Some stuff removed, some stuff added together, but you know, they're very similar. Probably the big difference I noticed was at level three, under age tertiary aromas.
Oh, yeah.
In tertiary aromas at level three, they divide them out into bottle aromas and then oxidative aromas for whites and reds. Whereas in diploma, it's just white wine, white aromas showing age, or red wine showing age. And it's both bottled development and oxidative aromas coming through at the same time. But apart from that, they're very similar, aren't they?
They are, yeah. And I think this is it. So superficially, it looks like it's not going to change very much when you do your tasting. And actually, it won't for the most part, you know, appearance, nose, palate. But then it's when you get to the quality.
We'll come to that. Yeah. We'll come to that. Let's talk about the palate. And
yes.
Palate, as far as I can tell, is identical apart from sweetness, where they've dropped the luscious sweetness.
Yes.
Because luscious to me is PX sherries, Rutherglen Moscats.
Exactly.
I always think of sweet as 130, 150 grams per litre.
Something along those lines, yes.
Yeah, and luscious when you start getting around 500.
Yeah, when you get like...
trickle!
Yeah, when you know you need to book the dentist. But they do have luscious now, but they've put it in other observations. So what you need to do now is if you're... And I teach a lot of fortified at Diploma. So... if you do identify a wine in front of you that has got a lot of sugar in it, so like you say, the PXs, the Rutherglen Muscats of this world, then you do really need to add that luscious in your other observations. So, and other observations is another thing, I think, that you don't have at level three. So, you'd put that the wine is sweet. That's where you get your mark for sweetness, sweet wine. So sweet is anything, you know, around sort of 100 grams a litre upwards, and depending on the acidity. And then, then you would add luscious. So one of the differences as well from the nose and the palate is you have a slightly different spread of marks. So you have 5 marks for the nose for both, but then where you have 3 marks for flavours, so you have to have at least 3 flavour characteristics. For Diploma, 4. You need to have 4 flavour characteristics. One of those can be interchangeable with another observation. So if you had 3 correct flavour characteristics and 1 correct other observation, that would be where you could get your 4 marks from.
Okay. In the old days, level 3, before they changed it and got rid of other observations, it used to comment about things like tannin texture.
Okay.
You know, whether it was velvety or rough or whatever. Yes. That's the big difference. What are the other observations that you could potentially make that would be typically accepted by an examiner?
So for tannins, actually, you bring up a good point, because tannins has two marks for diploma. So with level three, it would just be the level of the tannin. So one mark for tannins.
Low, medium, medium plus high.
Exactly, yes. But now for diploma, they have the level of the tannins and the nature of the tannins.
That's one mark each.
One mark each. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it doesn't matter if you get one right and one wrong. You'll get one the correct mark for the area that you got correct. But then with the nature of the tannins, you've got a whole range, which, again, if you look at the SAT, anyone who's looking at the SAT will see sometimes they have EG mm-hmm. written there. And that means that there's words there on the SAT that you are encouraged to use, but it does mean you can use your own words too. So here I think they have things like ripe, soft, and then they've also got sort of unripe, green, coarse, stalky. So it kind of encouraged students to either go into, you know, the positive tannins or the negative tannins. But for the most part, most wines, in my experience, have pretty positive tannins. Otherwise, they'd go through carbonic maceration.
Good point. And be candy, bubblegum and cinnamon.
Exactly.
Okay, so there are extra marks in there. Do students find it difficult because the nature of tannins is new?
Yeah, and I think students find tannins difficult, full stop. I don't know about your experience, but it's one of the things when I'm trying to go through, you know, fairly swiftly in class, the SAT, it's one of those bumps in the road. We get to tannins and I get more questions usually on that than I do on other parts of the SAT. I think because it's such a personal thing to people, how you feel the tannins, and it's something that... Yeah, it's particularly, when you're talking about the nature as well, trying to separate the level and the nature can be quite tricky for some students. But, you know, you get there in the end.
Let's talk about other observations then, because tannins are another observation, but they've got their own special marks associated with it. And you said that at level four, there's up to four marks for aromas, of which one of those could be another observation.
Also, for flavours, yes. There's, up to four marks, yeah.
Four marks for flavours, of which one could be another observation. Yes. And you mentioned luscious, but there's other things there, like oily, creamy, austere, pétillantes for still wines.
Yes, so that would be your vino verde or something.
Or half the German Rieslings, I see.
Yes, they are quite pétillant these days, aren't they?
Yeah. But anyway... oiliness, is that like maybe like an Alsace Gewürz?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, you don't have to use other observations. So, you know, I'll say to students, if there isn't something notable in the wine that, you know, really is clear to you textually, then you don't worry about it, because you're not going to lose any marks by not including other observation. I suspect you might, where you've got a PX or rather Glenmuscat for luscious, I think where you've got a luscious one, I do think you probably should state that. But I think everything else, you know, like if you've got a Gewürz Tremener, yes, you're probably going to find oily is relevant. But I think if you didn't write oily, you'd probably be okay.
You've got five aromas for your nose. If you get five there, you just copy them down.
Gewürz Tremener is not gonna give you less than five aromas.
I don't know. Sometimes it's just all roses and lychee, and it's really hard to spot other things.
Yeah,
in there.
I suppose. I think a lot of them are quite expressive, though, aren't they?
Yeah. So apart from other observations and the tannin nature. Pretty much identical. It used to be, the old days, alcohol used to be low, medium, minus, medium, medium, plus, and high. But now it's been stripped back to the same as level three.
I mean, it's pretty tough, isn't it, to be distinguishing between 1.5% alcohol in your tasting, I think. And it also, it's pretty tough now because we've got these parameters which for low are anything up to 11%, or I should say... I think 10.9 or something. And then medium is 11 to 13.9%. And then 14 and above is high. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm seeing a lot of 14%ers and above coming through more and more. You know, Sancerre is one of these regions where we can get that level of alcohol now. So yeah, high isn't quite what it used to be. So it was definitely really tricky with medium plus and medium minus. Yeah. I think a 3-point scale, it makes much more sense for alcohol. And of course, it changes for fortified.
I was going to say, yeah. What is the range for fortified?
So it has to be different, otherwise everything would be high. Mm. But yeah, we start at, so 15 to 16.4% is low, 16.5% to 18.4% is medium, and then 18.5% and above is high.
And the other thing is, I noticed that there's no mention of mousse for sparkling wines, yeah, in the SAT. Do you not do that for sparkling wines? Or is that, would that be an observation? Or
you can, I think you could mention it in the quality assessment. I don't really encourage it being assessed anywhere else, because there's not really anywhere for it. And I think before you could talk about whether it was aggressive or creamy or delicate or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
I think you can still do that to a point in the quality assessment. But bear in mind, you know, where I talked earlier about the sparkling exam, and a lot of students have the sparkling wine at the end of the exam. So it's in their glass for, 45 minutes plus. And then the mousse is going to potentially have changed a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we don't emphasise the mousse, but I think you could maybe use whether it's more persistent as potential evidence for traditional method, or you could use sort of creamy or delicate, maybe. It's just to show positive characteristics for the wine. But I don't think it's too conclusive. I think that's the problem. I think it had too much weight, whereas actually, it can depend on, you know, how long it's been in the glass for, yeah, for example. So
even,
yeah,
shape of the glass.
Exactly.
Okay, so for fortified and for sparkling wines, fortified's just got a slightly different alcohol range.
That's it. Everything else is the same.
And for sparkling wines, it's the same.
Yeah, I mean, of course, these are different styles of wine. So you will find that when you're tasting them, you're going to find, particularly with something like fortified wines, the bodies tend to be fuller. Intensity can be a bit higher. But yeah, you're using the same SAT and you're comparing those wines to all other wines in the world.
What about body, just on that? Because most fortified wines would land up being full-bodied, yeah, I would have thought.
Yes.
So do you change the range?
No, it's just, you know, you just get a lot of full-bodied wines for fortified.
That makes it easy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does make it easy.
Okay, finish is the same. So let's talk a wee bit about these conclusions as well, because that's quite an important element here. So at level 3, you just needed to come up with poor, acceptable, good, very good, or outstanding.
Yep.
And I normally get my guys to just do a BLIC,
yep,
which is, you know, just balance, length, intensity, complexity.
Mm-hmm.
And every teacher I know has a slightly different way of getting, yep, students to do the BLIC.
Yep.
I use a very simple one. It's like if it's high or medium plus, you get a mark. If it's not, you don't. But some lecturers give half marks to things and,
yeah,
whatever. But an outstanding wine often is going to be outstanding or very good.
Exactly.
It's going to be in the same ballpark.
I mean, I just do big ticks and small ticks, you know.
Small ticks. No smiley faces.
No. Yeah, if it's outstanding, it gets a smiley face.
Yeah. And a burp. Okay, so BLIC's quite a useful thing at level 3 anyway. Mm. And when I was looking at and trying to remember from my diploma days, I remember having to write things like balance and length, intensity and complexity to justify it. So to me, it seemed like quality assessment is you've got a measurement and then you have to write a paragraph explaining it.
Yeah.
And to me, I would have just said, okay, this wine is balanced. It's got great length. Complexity is there because it's got primary, secondary, tertiaries, or it's got X number of clusters or whatever. And would that be enough at level 4? Or do you need to go further than that?
You do need to go a bit further than that. So BLIC is, yeah, it's a good place to start. But when we're talking about balance, you know, you can't just say, oh, the wine is balanced. You need to say what is in balance with what is integrated, what isn't integrated. You need to really be able to explain why the wine is balanced or maybe it isn't so well balanced. And then for length, you need to describe the length, but also you need, well, say the level of the length. So is it, you know, short, medium, medium plus, whatever. And then you need to say what that finish is like. You know, is it complex? Is it persistent? Does it end in a particular way? You know, is it fruity? So you need to give some description to the finish as well. For intensity, I kind of say, well, I for intensity, fine, but I think I prefer identifiable characteristics, because when we're thinking about quality, intensity can link to quality, but I think definition of fruit and other characteristics is more a quality focus. So yeah, I think when I encourage writing the quality assessments for my students, I ask them to write about the definition. So, you know, are the fruit characteristics, for example, are they quite generic or are they well-defined? Are they extremely well-defined? So you'd need to kind of talk about that. And then that can kind of take you to complexity. So how complex is this wine and why? So if you're talking about, you need to talk about where it kind of gets its complexity from, like you say, primary, secondary and tertiary, maybe be a little bit more specific, oak, lees. You know, if we're talking about sparkling wine, an estimate of the time on the lees. When I say estimate, I mean sort of medium term, you know, time on the lees, or long term, yeah, but not, you don't need to specify the years, but just kind of say, you know, extended or long. For fortified wines, you know, how long the maturation is, again, not in years, but you know, has it been short maturation, has it been long maturation, that kind of thing. And I think equally you can mention typicity, as long as you're sure, of course, in a blind tasting, it's not so easy. So that could be variety or it could be regional typicity. You could talk about texture. So, you know, if a wine feels thin or dilute, or if it feels particularly rich, or if there's, you know, on the palate, you're getting sensations that are in addition to the complexity that you get through aromas and flavours. And also you could be talking about the ageing potential. Now, I know suitability for ageing is a separate area, but there is those times where you have a wine and it's too young. Now, it's still an outstanding wine, but it's not necessarily a wine that you're particularly enjoying right now. So you need to justify why it's outstanding, even though maybe the tannins are a little bit much right now, or the oak feels a little bit overwhelming, for example. And then you say, well, actually, it's because it's not in its drinking window right now, but this wine over time will, you know, become like this. So therefore, it is an outstanding wine. So there are a few other things to consider. And okay, there's 6 marks for that.
6 marks, yeah, I was going to say, that's quite a lot of marks, isn't
yeah.
it? It's a little mini essay.
It is. It's definitely a paragraph, and it's something that students, I think they struggle with, and it's something they need to practice.
Blick would get you 4.
It would.
If you gave it a nice rounded explanation, but you're still looking for another couple of marks.
Yeah, it's showing your understanding of the wine. You know, you're assessing a wine. It's a bit like a conversation with the examiner. You're saying to the examiner, look, this is the wine. This is what its quality is because, and you're, you know, putting all the information to justify that quality level. So you do need to understand the wine. You can't just write, you know, it's imbalanced, it's complex. You know, you've got to be writing about that specific wine and really show your understanding of what's in the glass. So that's why identification doesn't really matter, because if you can pick up 6 marks through a really good quality conclusion, and you're only going to get a good quality conclusion if you've understood the wine, so it's likely that your tasting note is accurate anyway. You know, that's where most of the marks are going to lie. So, and I think, I mean, I don't know about you, but most people seem to believe, I think rightly, that quality is probably the most important thing when you're assessing a wine. Just in general.
Well, whether I like it is probably for me.
Well, yes.
But that's not an SAT. You don't get any marks. No. I like that.
But from an objective point of view, you know, the skills you need are more to do with quality. You know, if you're going to be a wine judge, you want to be able to determine quality rather than be like, oh, this is from this vineyard in this region.
Yes, yes. In fact, if you're a judge, that's bad.
Yes.
Because you don't really want to know it normally.
No.
Okay. And the last big one is bottle aging.
Yes.
It's suitability for bottle aging or not suitable for bottle aging. And that's quite different, because before we used to go too young, can drink now and has potential aging, drink now, not suitable for aging, or too old, and that sort of covered most of the different styles of wines. But now you're just saying, is it good to age? Is it not good to age? And then again, an essay effectively about why.
A bit less. I don't need to write quite as much. This is 3 marks for
three
this.
Marks.
So I suggest that students write, you know, yes or no, then why, and what's going to happen to the wine. So, you know, yes, it is or it isn't suitable for aging. Now, why is it suitable for aging? Well, that could be because it's got the structure and the concentration that you've already experienced positive tertiary characteristics on the wine. So everything is pointing to a potential for aging. And then, so what's going to happen to the wine? Well, over time, it will develop further. You know, you might get characteristics such as, you know, white wine, I don't know, nuts, smoke, mushroom, you know, honey, etc. So you've got to be a little bit sort of predictive, think a bit creative, because obviously that's not what you're smelling now, but that's what is likely to happen to the wine.
It is so hard though to get a wine, taste a wine when it's young and yeah. know what it's going to change into.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of, you know, leeway there. I think no one's expected to know what it's going to exactly taste like in 5 years, but just have a general understanding of how white wines evolve positively, how red wines evolve positively.
For me, it's so much easier to talk about things like the tannin structure and the tannins polymerizing and changing the texture of the tannins and the intensity, which then has an influence on the fruit and things like that.
I think that's great, but I think that's too much detail. I don't think you need to be saying that in the bottle aging. You just need to say that the tannins will be more integrated potentially, you know, or they'll soften or they'll mellow. And I think that's it really. But yeah, obviously if you've got a red wine that you feel that the tannins are maybe a little bit too intrusive because it is very young still, then yeah, you would probably touch on that in the quality assessment, but yeah, you'd need to repeat that in the suitability for aging as well.
Okay then, Lauren, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Okay.